This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is funny. On the text page, back-to-back texts comparing Easterby to two different Game of Thrones characters.
Oh, I bet one is Littlefinger.
Easterby is Littlefinger. That's okay. From 7718.
Ooh, that's not a very flattering...
Easterby, Hand of the King is the other one. So not necessarily a character, but a title.
Hand of the King is a better one. Various hands of the kings at various levels of either, I guess, what's the damn word I'm looking for? Nobility? Yeah. Versus some are just kind of scoundrels.
Easterby was a conniver. Or not Easterby, I'm sorry. Littlefinger was a conniver. Yeah. No, Easterby, you're not a conniver if you're listening. Littlefinger was a conniver.
Was he for a brief while the Hand of the King?
Littlefinger was...
I know who he was in general, but I thought maybe for a small...
He was a small council.
Yeah.
And if you don't watch Game of Thrones, you're really confused right now. By the way, I watched the battle between the living and the dead last night on HBO Go. I went back and watched some Game of Thrones. I haven't gone back and rewatched any of the last season.
Oh, that. The Battle of the
Living. Battle of Winterfell.
You have to watch that 8 times so you can actually see things.
Yeah, I noticed that again.
Either make it extremely dark.
I was watching it on my laptop. Amy's got all these shows she records, and I don't watch any of them.
Yeah.
So Tuesday's like her day to catch up on all the shows. So we got all, you know, we like hanging out in the same room because we enjoy each other's company. I don't know if we're enjoying each other's company when I just throw my AirPods in and I'm watching Game of Thrones. Yeah. But maybe symbolically we're in the same room.
You like knowing where each other is.
I guess,
I suppose.
Yeah.
See, my daughter. My daughter's kind of like me, a little bit of a just, she's perfectly fine being.
Little world.
Well, sometimes I don't want to be around people.
Yeah.
I'd say a good portion of the day. Yeah. But I like being with the people I love. But she said that she said it in a way that didn't sound as dismal as it is, which is like, I just want to find somebody that I can sit and read books with on the opposite side of the room all day.
That's not a bad person to look for, honestly.
Read a different book on the other side of the room.
That's good at her young age. She has clarity on what she's looking for.
Yeah.
You know? Do you like going out and eating by yourself?
It's not my favorite thing in the world. I don't, I'm not comfortable in public for the most part.
Okay.
In general. It's a weird little, it's probably something about me that people don't expect. Like, I really, really, really don't like, I get
it's
a little bit paranoid.
You have a very gregarious personality.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Like when I'm actually talking to a person, I'm fine, but I feel like everybody's staring at me in a room whenever I walk in. I've got a little bit of this.
Someone's got a pretty high impression of themselves.
Yeah. No, like in a judgmental way. I walk into a room and I feel like...
Thank you for clarifying.
I feel like everybody hates me when I walk into a place.
Well, that's not true.
I know it's not true consciously, but that's just the way my body reacts like everybody hates me.
Right.
So Sean, I've been working on it for about 37 years, okay? I'm making progress.
Seth,
don't judge me.
Seth, we're slowly gathering a list of Game of Thrones characters that Easterby could be. Someone just texted in the High Sparrow.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, that might be
that was
like
a religious element.
Right.
Remember the High
Sometimes
Sparrow?
Sometimes a High Sparrow, very much a, hey, the ends justify the means feel to him.
But he brought a very faith-based sort of... ruling hands.
But
to,
he was genuinely
to King's Landing.
He was genuinely devout, but because he was a true believer, he was also very severe and he felt justified in being the hatchet man, so to speak.
Some would say he was a zealot.
Right, yeah, he's a zealot. Yeah. Is Jackie well look, zealotry can be great. You can accomplish great things with zealotry.
Yeah.
Sure. Do you break a few eggs along the way? Yeah. Might those eggs actually be actual human beings? Sure, but you can accomplish great things. Look at the magnificent feat that they pulled off in Jonestown, down in Central America. There, you think you could just clear all that jungle space and everything without a little bit of zealotry?
Probably not. No.
Yeah. No.
I'm going to hold off on my Game of Thrones analogy until Easterby speaks publicly.
How close are we to Jonestown in with the Houston Texans? I don't think we're that close.
No, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure we're not.
All right.
So, speaking of the Texans, so we know that back in June, July timeframe last year, that the Texans had fired Brian Gain in early June, and then they spent the next couple weeks fishing around trying to find a new general manager, fishing around to the extent that they wound up getting accused of tampering by the New England Patriots because of their pursuit of Nick Caserio. And it begs the question, just yesterday, and again, I'll say yesterday's announcement by the Texans was just, to me, more validation of what we were kind of supposing already, as opposed to something that just hits us upside the head, like, holy crap, O'Brien is now the general manager? He's always been the general manager. Ever since Brian Gain left, he's been pretty much the general manager. I just started thinking of this question, Seth. Do we think that O'Brien even really wanted Nick Caserio here?
Because, and that's where the question becomes, all right, and did Bill O'Brien want Jack Easterby here? Is that, I would imagine he did, but did Bill O'Brien envision this role for Jack Easterby? Or was it Jack Easterby gets into the building and starts filling Bill O'Brien's ideas with, you know, all right, sorry, kids, I'm going to make a Seinfeld reference here. But you remember the Seinfeld where Kramer starts talking to him? Kramer is this goofy character, kids, in Seinfeld, kind of a jackass. Yeah. But he starts talking to this other character, Elaine, and filling her head with great ideas of what she could accomplish when she's in this role. She had become president of this company, and she was not qualified.
No.
But Kramer was filling her head with all these great thoughts and ideas, and
her katsuma,
pumping her full of confidence.
Yeah.
Till at the very end, all of a sudden, Elaine realizes that Kramer is full of crap, and it's a house of cards that's all been built up on her relatively fragile ego, and it comes crashing down.
Yeah.
So in this situation, is Jack Easterby the Kramer type that got to O'Brien and said, hey, you can do this. You don't need a GM. You don't need a director. You don't need a cap negotiator. You don't need any of those things. You can do it all. And Bill O'Brien's like, yeah, I can do it all. I can be the head coach, the GM, the offensive play caller. What else is he doing right now? I can do all of this. I don't need anybody else to help me.
I do wonder at what point O'Brien thought, man, I could be the general manager of this football team. Was it at some point when he realized that Brian Gain was not the, when Bill O'Brien realized, like, man, this Brian Gain thing's not working out like I thought it could?
Yeah.
Did he realize that maybe at the time when Rick Smith left, like, okay, we're going to bring in Brian Gain? I do wonder, like, how far out. At some point, Bill O'Brien had ambition to be the general manager of the team.
Yeah.
Maybe it happened the day that they got accused of tampering with Nick Caserio, and he realized that day, you know what, I could do this job. Or maybe it was 4 years ago when he was watching Rick Smith do it, saying, I could do this job better than this guy.
Yeah.
I wonder.
But Brian Gain and I are aligned, and I got to have a GM because I haven't won a Super Bowl yet or anything.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
here we go. But then Easterby gets here, and it's like, no, Bill. You need to break the parameters in the mold. You could try to be like everybody else that ever was, or you could be your own man and forge ahead and be a revolutionary.
It's more just the thing that fascinates me than anything that really matters in terms of how the football team's going to do this year, because he is the general manager now. Like, it is what it is now, but it does make me wonder just, like, how sinister.
Yeah.
You know, like, ambitious was he when he got in the door? Did he just show up here as a guy who was drawing up his ball plays and coaching quarterbacks, and I'm just here on game day? At some point, it changed.
Right. Oh, well, yeah, and that's where I think it always happens. Look, with Andy Reid, it happened. When Andy Reid first got to Kansas City, he would talk about how it's nice not to be in charge of personnel. Like, it's just nice to not have that on your plate. But what happens is, invariably, at some point, a coach is going to start to wonder, well, gosh, I remember that I didn't like that player all that much, but then we drafted him, and look, he didn't work out. Or, oh, wow, I really liked that offensive lineman, but the GM didn't like him, and now look at that guy doing well on another team. It's impossible to not start thinking that way. Now, some coaches do a better job of working through it and maybe just trying to have a productive relationship about it, but some guys just can't ever let it go. Does Bill O'Brien strike you as perhaps a guy who can't let things go?
Yes.
Yeah. Like that if, hey, maybe you wanted to draft Garoppolo, and right from the very beginning, you could have had Garoppolo and foregone all the Osweiler stuff, all the Hoyer stuff, all of that, and had Garoppolo right from the very beginning. Bill O'Brien very much strikes me as a guy that would never forget that and couldn't move past it and could not stop thinking, wow, if only I were in charge.
Sure.
If only I had been the guy, you know, and you don't remember all the dumb stuff you thought too. Because anytime you're doing personnel, you're going to do some dumb things.
Yeah.
There's the greatest GMs on earth all have made dumb mistakes in the draft. So at least in hindsight, they look stupid.
Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.